time because he lives. We can walk day to day and know that he is with us. Amen. Because he lives, we know that we're not alone. And because he lives, our hearts are mended. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Worship with me as I sing.
anxiety. Because he holds my future in the palm of his hand, and my life is worth something. So much so he came so that I might have eternal life. Come on, do you believe that today? Come on and give God glory. Thank you, those that came out to visit with us on today. Thank you for spending some time with us. Amen. Amen. This is Restoration Temple, Full Gospel Baptist Church, where I serve as the Director of Communications for the state of Pennsylvania. It is a privilege and an honor to be in the house. And I'm honored that you would take some time and come and visit with us on today. Catwells are here with us on today, and we honor your presence. I can't say that I know how you feel because I still have my father. So just know this, brother, that just because the funeral is over, it doesn't mean that our service to you and that our prayers for you are over. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing, Dad, with us and allowing me the honor and the privilege to spend time with him so that I could stand over him and tell the truth.
Amen.
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 You ought to live your life in a way that when the pastor have to stand over you, he don't have to look for something to say about you. Y'all should have shouted. You should live your life in a way that the pastor can preach easy at your home going. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. Move me, God. Hide me behind the cross. Say what you would have me to say in the way that you would have it to be said, that somebody in this place may be delivered, may be healed, may be set free. Someone who doesn't know you may come running to the altar crying, what must I do to be saved? We honor you on today. We invite you into this place. In Jesus' name, let God's people say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
All right, now I don't have a whole bunch of shouting for you to do because you know I'm on a mission for the month of February. Some folks call it Black History Month. I call it Heritage Month because my history did not start with slavery. Amen?
Amen?
Come on, somebody. The history books start with plantations, do they not? And I don't know about you, but I am no longer bound. Well, amen. So as we celebrate in the month of February our heritage, we invite you, and I invite you to do some studying and learn about where we came from. And when I say we, I say we. I don't believe that Heritage Month should be a month of segregation. Amen. I don't believe that the church should be a place of segregation.
Yes.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Come on, what's done is done. All right. So we invite you on this month to take some time out and research a little bit about where we come from as a people. And on the fourth and final Sunday of the month, we invite you to wear your heritage garments. Amen. Be proud of where we come and how far we have come from. Amen, somebody. On today, we're talking very briefly on the topic, I am that I am, and that settles it. Amen. We read from your hearing in the book of Exodus today from the third chapter, and I just want to focus in on the 14th verse, and it says, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said this, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. So we're going to talk very briefly on two simple words, I am. I'm going to invite my pulpit associates, if you would come on down here, so I can see you. Amen. If y'all could come on down here where I can see you. And we want to stay in line with full gospel, which says that needs to happen. Amen. So we're talking on the subject, I am. It's an amazing story that we encounter in the third chapter of Exodus. And we read of Moses, a man that had been raised in the finest places in Egypt. He had eaten the best foods and attended the best schools. Come on, somebody. He had fled Egypt when he learned that Pharaoh was seeking his head because he was an Egyptian. Now, Moses was an inhabitant of Midian. He was married to a lady named Zipporah, and they had a son. He'd been working for his father-in-law, tending sheep for about 40 years. And here now in the text, we find Moses, who is around 80 years old, leading sheep through the desert and came upon the mountain of God, otherwise known as Mount Sinai, which is a place where we read of God's presence coming several times. Are you with me? A place where we later find Moses receiving the commandments from God. But anyway, Moses was tending to his sheep when he noticed something very strange. He saw a bush, and it wasn't just any bush. It was a burning bush. But that wasn't the strange part. The thing that was out of the ordinary was that the bush was burning, but it had not been consumed. That's a message all in itself. Amen. The fire of God should touch you, but it will not consume you. Come on, somebody. You should be on fire for the Lord. If it's the right kind of fire, the sincere kind of fire, you will be on fire but not consumed. Jeremiah said that it was like fire shut up in my bones. See, it was the fire, but it wasn't burning up. It wasn't being destroyed. So Moses decided to check it out. And he called God from the bush. And I'm paraphrasing. Moses said, he said to Moses, don't you come any closer. Do you know the story? It's because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. See, and we miss that sometimes because we come to church and we act like we're doing God a favor when we come into the house. You want to come into the house and remember that where God is, it's a holy place. And he did you a favor by allowing you to get up in the morning with activity in your limbs, in your right mind, to dress yourself and press your way into the house. You didn't do anybody a favor. Of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I've seen the oppression of the people in Egypt. And I'm going to deliver them now. I'm going to be your deliverer. Wouldn't that be an amazing experience? Don't you understand, family, that God wants to deliver you? No. Y'all aren't real today. Don't you understand that God wants to deliver you? Yes. God wants to set you free. Yes. God doesn't want to see you bound up in a mess of any kind. God doesn't want to see you addicted to this, that, or the other. God wants to deliver you. Yes. But you've got to have a mindset to be delivered. Right. You missed that. You've got to have a mindset to be delivered. It's already been paid for. Yes. It's already been canceled out. Yes. It is up to us to walk in what God has for us already. Right. Can you imagine the experience that Moses had on that mountaintop? God talking to him through a bush. Yes. Telling him that he would be the one to lead the entire Hebrew nation to freedom. I can't possibly even imagine how I would respond to that. But Moses did like most church folks. Come on, somebody. God gave him instructions. He told him what he was going to have him to do. And he did like church folks. Moses must have been Baptist. Because Moses immediately began to make excuses about why he wasn't the man for the job. Do we not do that when God says to us, I have something for you to do? The first thing we say, but God, are you sure? Are you sure? You're going to ask the sovereign of the universe, are you sure, God, that it's me? God said, I am. Who am I that I should be the one that goes to Pharaoh and demands freedom of the Israelites? The people won't believe me when I tell them that you sent me. And sometimes that's true. People won't believe you when you tell them God sent you, because they see how you live your life. I'm glad I'm the founder. Y'all can't throw me out. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we stifle the message of God because we're not clean vessels. How can you preach to folks dirty? Come on in here. He said, I can't speak well. Mm-hmm. I stutter. Send somebody else. Yeah. And the discussion, the dialogue that they had was long. The excuses were many, just like we do with God. Well, I'll go when I get a few things worked out. Mm-hmm. Well, you ain't never gonna go then. Because if you get one worked out, the enemy will send another. Yeah. And before you know it, 15 years has passed by and you're still stagnant. Yeah. You're still bound up in the same mess that you've been bound up in for the last 15 years because you're waiting to get it right. If we could get it right, God would have never had to send his son. Come on in here. See, but even eventually the Lord, he helped Moses to understand that he was the man for the job. And that he would have the power and the presence of God with him. It was a conversation that they had. And we read about it in the third and fourth chapters of Exodus. And it's an interesting conversation and one that we could no doubt draw many lessons from. We could preach many different messages from this one passage of scripture. But today, I just want to talk about what God himself said. He said, I am. Now, what was he saying when he called himself I am? What was he trying to say when he said I am? Two very important words, I am. First of all, that means I exist. Come on in here. And before any part of theology or doctrine can even be discussed, the doctrine of God must be established first. In Christianity, before we can talk about faith, talk about heaven, hell, and salvation, and forgiveness, the deity of Christ, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection, or the soon to come Jesus, we must first confirm in our minds whether or not we believe that there is a God in the first place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you with me? And I came by on today to remind you that there is only one God. There is only one true living God. You can get mad and send me emails later, but I'm going to tell you Muhammad couldn't do it. Buddha couldn't do it. Confucius couldn't do it. They're still waiting for him to get up, but there was only one who did exactly what he said he was going to do. He said that if I be lifted up from the earth, I wish I had a praying church. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. He said, I'm going to come that you may have life. He said that I'm going to come and I'm going to lay it down. But don't worry about that thing, because I will lay it down. But 3 days later, I promise you this one thing. I will pick it back up again. Now, show me the body and I'll throw away the Bible. Come on, somebody. wasn't there.
That's right.
Because it got up.
Yeah, yeah.
So now we've established that we have a God.
Yeah.
He's the one true living. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of Isaac and Jacob. And I'm going to remind you, he's the same God that your mama and daddy had. Follow the same Bible that your mama and daddy followed. What was wrong then is still wrong now. What we couldn't do then, we still can't do it now. Just because society has changed and laws have changed and the government has said it's okay to marry a dog and all of that stuff, the Bible doesn't say that. Yeah. Come on, you can marry a dog in Wyoming. Look it up. It's legal. If there was no God, then there would be no reason to believe that we have a heaven or a hell.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. If there was no God, there'd be no need for salvation. If there was no God, there'd be no way of salvation. If there was no God, then it's impossible for Jesus to claim to be his son. If there was no God, then Jesus would still be dead. Come on, somebody. And there'd be no return for us to look forward to. See, the existence of God is the hinge and the concept on which our faith rests. In 1859, a man by the name of Charles Darwin published a book called The Origin of Species. And in that book, he had specifically said that man had not been created by God, but was in fact a product of biological evolution. Simply put, he said that man is the descendant of an ape, which is a descendant of nothing in particular. He's trying to say that we were not created, that we evolved. And if that's the case, I want to know why my dogs don't talk back to me. They look at me like they have something to say, but because they are not, they do not have a soul. Come on, they don't speak to me. He tried to say that we evolved and we were not created, but the Bible doesn't say that. And that we have evolved over millions and billions of years. He tried to convince us that a random accidental atomic collision resulted in the formation of a simple form of life that eventually became us. Now granted, some of us act like monkeys.
Yeah.
Come on, India.
Yeah.
Some of us act like animals, do we not?
Yeah.
We rape and pillage around the community. We sleep with whoever we want to sleep with. And we think because we put on a suit or a robe on Sunday that God is going to bless us anyhow. And that is simply not biblical. Darwin's theory said there was no 6 days of creation. He said there was no creator, that it just happened. And that makes no sense at all. How can people look at creation and claim there is no creator? People don't question or not whether a computer came into being designed by an intelligent builder, do we not? Come on, somebody. People don't look at a car or a jet plane and think that it just happened. We don't even think that there is a creator. And I was studying for this message, I came upon some interesting facts. I learned that if the earth was just a little bit smaller than it is, that our livable, breathable atmosphere would not even exist. The earth would look like Mercury or the moon. If it was a little bit larger, it would not contain enough oxygen, and it would contain free hydrogen like Jupiter or Saturn, and we would not be able to survive on this rock we call Earth. Our planet would be unlivable if it were just a little bit bigger or just a little bit smaller. Somebody ought to say, I am that I am. The Earth's distance from the sun is precise. If the sun was a few degrees closer, we would disintegrate. If it was a few miles farther away, we would freeze to death. Our earth is tilted on an axis. So in that we have seasons. I am that I am. The human eye is the fastest processor of information that has ever been created on the earth, even right now. I am that I am. The eye can process a million messages a second. I am that I am. The eyeball on each side contains 137 million photo and light sensors. I am that I am. Believe whatever you want, but my Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 33 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. My God is real and he exists. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. He alone is God. There is no other. I am that I am. Before time began, he was. And when time as we know it stops, he still will be. Come on in here. Why am I telling you this? Because y'all don't have any more time to play. You ought to understand who you belong to. You ought to understand whose you are. You ought to understand the kingdom that you represent. You have to understand that you don't have everything that God has for you to have because you won't let go of some stuff. Sunday doesn't do it. This is a worship experience. This doesn't save you. This doesn't cleanse you from the filth that you do Monday through Saturday. Sunday afternoon. He said, I am that I am. He always has been, he always will be, simply God. When God says I am, he's telling you I exist. When he says I am, he's telling you I do not change. Come on in here. Towns are changing. People are changing. Prices are changing. Fears are changing. Fads are changing. Moods are always changing. Churches are changing. Times are changing. Relationships are changing. But in him, the Bible says there is no shadow of turning. He's the same as he was yesterday, as he is right now. He's the same right now as he's going to be tomorrow. He's the same on tomorrow that he's going to be forever and forever. What you have to understand is you have to know who he is and have a relationship with him. Isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know that when people change, God doesn't change? Isn't it good to know when folks that used to love you talk about you, but God doesn't change? Isn't it good to know he's just who he said he was, and you can depend on that thing? Someone that we can count on. Something that is unchanging. He is the God of the Bible. And we don't understand who he is because we don't read it enough. We wait to come to church and we read it to you. He is the God of the Bible. Everything that he did for them, he'll do it for us. The problem is we don't know what he did because we don't read it. We don't study it. The same God who existed before time, he lives in our hearts today. When you really take a moment and you think about that, Sister Deborah, when you think about that, if you take a look back and see how God always delivered, how God always made a way, how God always comforted his people, how God always made provision for his people, how God healed the sick, how he raised the dead, that is the same God that rests within you right now. There's no need for anxiety and worry and pain because God is with you. Come on in here. The same God who had the authority to write the commandments has the authority to direct nations today. I'm not political. I don't care who is in the White House. I know who in my house I serve. I serve the one that said I am that I am. I serve the one that stepped off of nothing onto something and called light to come running. I serve the man that departed the water from the land. I serve the man that put the moon and the stars in place. I don't care who's on Pennsylvania Avenue, because as for me and my house, I serve the Lord. People think that he's lost power. He's all power. Who said that? He's all power. Come on. He's all power. He hasn't lost a thing. His wisdom has not diminished. His love has not burned out for us. He was, he is, and he'll always be the same. Somebody say, I am.
I am.
The one word that God we can use to describe is immutable. Immutable is defined of not capable or susceptible to change. He couldn't change if he wanted to, because he said, before my word will fail, heaven and earth shall pass away. That's it right there. So whatever he said it one time, and he meant that thing. So it isn't up to us to try to change what the Bible says so we can be comfortable in our sin. If I am said it, that settles it. He was God yesterday. He God right now.
Yes, he is.
And if we're here, if this planet is here 1,000 years from now, he'll still be God. Time has not worked against him. And it didn't need to work for him either. His power has not decreased. It hasn't grown, but it hasn't lost any wisdom, because he is who he is. Come on, somebody. We missed that. His power hasn't grown and it hasn't diminished, because he is who he is. And that is all that we need on this side. Come on, somebody. He doesn't have to gain any more time. His holiness is not diminished at all. Neither had he had to become more holy. He's always been perfect from the beginning. There's no need for any room for improvement in who he is. He doesn't need to develop. He doesn't need to grow. He doesn't need to weaken or decline. He always has and always will be all powerful. He always had and always will have all the wisdom and the knowledge. He has and always will be the Holy One. He always was and always will be God. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God looked at Moses and simply said, I am the God of your fathers. I'm the same now as I was then. I want to encourage you on today as we close out to put your trust in God. Come on, I said to you last week, why would we put our investment in a sure loss? Why would we invest in something that we know is going to lose in the end? When we put our investments on things on this side, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. And everything that you fought and struggled for on this earth, you're going to leave it right here. You ought to do like the hymn writer said and build your hopes on things eternal. Hallelujah. Somebody, put your trust in God. Put your trust in the one that said to Moses, I am that I am. Whatever the problem may be in your life, I dare you to call on I am that I am. Come on and pray with me. Whatever your situation that you're going through, come on and call on the one that said I am that I am. Whatever you're facing, I guarantee if you call on the God that said I am that I am, whatever it is that your needs are, God will meet you right where you are. Come on in here and act like you understand what I'm saying. Whatever comes your way, I guarantee if you call on I am that I am. If you, when your way seems dark, when you get a bad doctor's report, when your husband won't do right, when your wife has left you, when your children are in the street, when you think that there is nothing that you can do, if you call on him, I guarantee you, he'll say, I am that I am. Put your trust in me. Put your faith in me, and I will answer your petition. Somebody say, I am.
I am.
Y'all say it like you believe it.
I am.
I am. Come on, musicians. I am that I am. If we ask him, he would tell us, I am a way maker.
Yes.
If we ask him, I bet you he would say, I am a redeemer. Yes. I bet you if you ask him, he would say, I am a healer.
Yes.
I am a sanctifier.
Yes.
I am a strong tower. I am a friend to the friendless. I am a father to the fatherless. Whatever it is, children, that you need, understand that God is the great I am. If you need a friend, call on I am. If you need a mother, call on I am that I am. He'll meet you where you are. Get to know him and understand that he's holy. We serve a holy God. We serve a God that can make no mistakes. We serve a God that has nobody to lie to. We serve a God that says I am that I am, and that should settle it enough for you. If you need a job, say I am. I need a job. Come on in the house. God is a way maker. It says we have not because we ask not. And when we do ask, we ask incorrectly. You got to humble yourself and pray. The Bible says, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I believe the street version of the Bible is that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the stuff that you're chasing after will come naturally to you. Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me. I don't have to chase it. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life here. And when I'm over and done and I cross the Jordan, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is not my home here. This earth don't have nothing I want but to get through it. I'm looking to get towards heaven.
Hallelujah.
Come on in the house. Give God your best praise. Somebody say, I am that I am. Come on in here. Come on in here. Come on in here. Hallelujah. Come on and praise him. Come on and lift your hands. Say, I am that I am. Hallelujah. 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 The heart attack didn't take you out of here. Look back over your life. The cancer didn't kill you. Look back over your life. That husband that tried to kill you off. Come on, when you thought that you wanted to check out of here, something ministered to your spirit. You are here simply by the grace of God. And you owe him. You owe him every prayer, every honor, and all the glory. And you ought to tell him, for not giving me what I deserve, which is death, hell, and the grave. God is good, and he's worthy of our praise. Come on in the house. Y'all can take some time out and give God praise. Super Bowl will start till 6:30. The least we can do is sit in the house and tell God, I thank you. I thank you for life. I thank you for health. I thank you for strength. I thank you for not being on the bereavement list. I thank you for not being on the sick and the shut-in list. I thank you for a portion of health and a home to wake up in. I thank you for food and shelter. I thank you for simply being God in my life. Hallelujah. Stand up, y'all, and walk. like people of God. Half step somewhere else. This is not the time. If ever the church need to be in prayer on one accord, it's right now. Y'all should have shouted, it's right now. I encourage you, take some time out and pray for some other folks. Worried with God with the same thing you've been asking him for 10 years and he delivered you 9 years ago. Start praying for some other folks. Your deliverance is in that. Amen, somebody? As we open the doors of the church.